Someone wake up the bats. They're sleeping. That's right. Yeah. I am Bo Squidbilly, Papa Squid, whatever you want to call me. Morgan, she is the first lady of baseball and needs to do a hitting seance of some type. The founder of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack.
Such a good idea.
And he never skipped OTAs because he was an All-American, a national champion.
That's not
former
why.
Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And with a Dylon thrown in the mix every once in a while, our forces make the morning shift. Good morning, all.
Howdy, Bo.
Howdy, Bo. Howdy, Mike. Howdy, howdy. Dylan.
Howdy, Allie.
Howdy, everybody.
You know, driving in this morning, it was so rainy. I had this thought. I want to give a shout out to all the moms and dads that just got their kids home for the summer. And the first week of summer break is the rain every day. And they're going, I'm bored.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
I mean, how disappointing for the first week to be completely rained out. And I know my sister, she's a Spanish teacher up in Jackson County. So she's at home now with her kids. And I know my nieces and nephews every day going, Mom, I'm bored.
I have 1 year left until my kids are home, like for the summer, or my son's home for the summer. Mm-hmm. My son won't be going. Probably neither one of them will go to daycare next year. But they're going 3 days a week to daycare right now during the summer. I'm terrified for the Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah,
like I'm terrified. Like it's like, dude, what even can we possibly put on the schedule to keep these kids engaged for 4 days a week now?
You're scared of your kids.
I am terrified of my children. They are. Just one thing sets them off. Just one thing.
I think you're more terrified of your wife, and she will put you in your place if you overstep.
That's not quite the dynamic.
I'm getting that way with mine.
My wife is she's very friendly to my children. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. She's very friendly to my children. So
well, today is pork chops.
It's good cop, bad cop thing when it comes to parenting.
Today is pork chops first day at Grandma daycare.
It
was a little tense last night. Like, there's a lot of firsts. Like, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, now everybody's schedule changes. So, because Amy's officially back at work. So Amy has to go in the morning, and then I have to go at some point in the afternoon to get her. Like, it just, everything is kind of starting to.
The new normal is what it is.
Well, it's like you adjust to baby and baby being there, mm-hmm. but the baby's never really left either one of us. Like at one point, one of us has always been. So now, it's just kind of like that. You know, that just it's just a new something else new you got to go through, right? So
yeah,
both of us were a little bit like, just a little bit. Now, I don't want to say edgy, but we were just a little tense because we were just, you know, there's a lot of news.
Is she going to be okay on the drop-off? Is Amy going to be all right? Yeah, dude. I'm going to tell you, that's a big day in a mom's life.
I have a feeling it's going to be, like first day of school.
Yeah.
Like when your parent first, you know, and I get it. Like, I totally get it. I'm not trying to out her. I get it. Like, she cares, you know? She's a loving mom.
Of course.
So.
Of course.
I'm like.
No judgment here.
I'm like, no. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to watch it a little bit longer before I come over? I kid.
Well, I want to encourage Amy. You're a strong mama. Feel those feelings. It is okay
got
to
this,
be a little
Amy.
Upset dropping off
you
baby girl today.
You
but
got
you
this.
Got this.
Yeah. Got this, Amy. Good luck.
So you guys have a whole new procedure happening, and it won't work without everyone there. So everybody's got to show up today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I know where this is going.
Well, I always show up, unlike some.
Yeah. Exactly. And we got to get to that. But first, I want to go around the room and see what everyone's headlines are for the day. Mike, what's yours?
5 + 11 is the equation that I'm leaning in towards. And I'm talking about Kirby Smart and the SEC meetings down in Destin right now. 5 + 11. I don't need all the other equations. 5 + 11. Give me that one.
Okay. Bo?
History was made last night in Indiana. And in the process, Spike Lee became a meme.
Oh.
Okay. Dylan.
We're going to get the NBA finals that mostly everybody doesn't want to see.
No. Rephrase it. The people in New York don't want to see.
That's true.
Because and you're right, ratings will probably suck.
We're just real quick. I think that's kind of unfortunate because the more I think about a potential Pacers OKC series, I think it'll actually be entertaining basketball. It's just two markets that's just like womp womp.
Yeah. Look, I find it funny that Seattle people still cry about their little NBA team being gone, but then again, the NBA did this themselves because they could have kept a team in Seattle, and instead they go, "Oh no, hello, let's go to Oklahoma City." By the way, you ever been to anybody in this room?
Ding ding.
Anybody in this floor ever been to Oklahoma City?
No.
Nope.
I have.
Went once. Real quick, went once when I was doing landscaping. We were doing we had a tree service. We went out there when the ice storms happened in the like December of 07, 08 era.
Mm-hmm.
Guy I was with got robbed at gunpoint outside the hotel.
Whoa.
Dang. Yeah.
So you can keep Oklahoma City, too.
Okay.
Jeez. You don't think anybody's ever been robbed in Atlanta? Stop. Get out of here.
Hugh Douglas lost his car a few times at a gas station.
Bro. But not at gunpoint.
Come on, that's what we're going to do?
That's true.
Now, although we still don't know what happened to Craig Carlos Valentino when he went to the
when he went out
with Mike Bell one night and didn't come to work for like 36 hours and no show, no call.
I forgot all about that story.
Came back with a busted up eye.
Yes.
Well, we are going to get to everything that's going on with college football, what's going on at the SEC meetings at 6:20, NBA playoffs at 6:40, but Falcons have OTAs going on, and Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, Caleb McGarry, and Ray McLeod were missing yesterday.
Yikes.
Any cause for concern here, fellas?
No, I'm good. I'm not necessarily concerned that my backup quarterback didn't show up for a voluntary workout. I think if you're panicking about that, You just want to talk about the guy. I am very irritated that a player who has done pretty much nothing in his since his rookie year, who's on a contract year, who could use the time to work with the young quarterback that is going to be running this team, decided not to show up. Now maybe there's a great reason for it, and I'm holding all of my judgment until I find out. I'm not bothered by that. I'm not even bothered by the right tackle. The fact that the tight end who has been questioned at times with his work ethic and his route running ethic and quitting on plays by many in the national media and that do the games, that one bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, I usually do everything on a scale from 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say that my issues with Kirk Cousins being there are about a 4 out of 10. Like, and I can't, I don't know if I necessarily agree with Bo that it's a nothing burger. I think there's something to it. We can't, in good faith, in my opinion, sit here and say, well, it's awesome having Kirk in the room. And it's awesome that when Kirk wears a GoPro, that Michael Penix can look at the GoPro and see what all was going on. And it's awesome, the communication. And you know he's going to be a good teammate and a good backup. And at the same time, when he doesn't show up, act like there's nothing to it. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah.
Let me finish. I can already see you taking a deep breath.
I agree. No, I want to say I agree with that.
Yes, it's not a nothing burger. It's a 4 out of 10 for me. Do I think it's to the detriment of whether or not the Falcons can make the playoffs? No. I don't think that's it at all. But I do wish he was there. I do wish he was there helping and everybody was pushing the same direction. Absolutely. That's what a good teammate would do. That's what a good veteran backup would do. We've talked a number of times about how we don't want veteran backups to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The backups, we don't want backups to be the story. We want backups to blend in. Yeah. Kind of making yourself a story here.
Yeah.
By not showing up, because otherwise in his career, he's shown the ability not to do that. Now, like I said, it's a 4 out of 10. Kyle Pitts, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
And I think it's just as big a deal, honestly, that Caleb McGarry's not there. Caleb McGarry fits in the same boat to me as Kyle Pitts. Now, I'm not worried about Caleb McGarry's work ethic at all, but Caleb McGarry needs to have a good year. If this team is going to do what we want them to do, Caleb McGarry needs to be much improved. There's no doubt about that. Now, I think he has improved throughout his career. Each and every year, I think he's gotten better at certain aspects, but it doesn't mean he's the kind of guy that's like, oh, well, I'm going in this year. I'm just going to skip OTAs. Now, just because you miss one doesn't mean you're going to miss them all, right? Like, I think we had a number of guys that would miss 2, 1, they'd make it to 8. I don't even know what the number of OTAs is anymore. It used to be like 14. Now I think it's 10.
There's at least 8.
How many did you ever miss, Mike?
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, come on. Come on, man.
But here's the
probably
problem.
Probably missed more. Yeah, I don't, like, yeah.
7 and 8 are part of mandatory mini camp, so they're not really OTA. They're not really they're not voluntary, but there are 6 at least. But remember, they had the workouts too, which don't necessarily chime into OTA stuff, which Kirk has been a part of and they've been doing. There also could be, I think it could be a one-off for some of these guys. It could be something, you know, it's not this. I'm kind of in the middle on all of it because, like, I'm going back and forth with our guy Eric, who listens to the show, always tweets, and he's like, "Well, championship caliber players don't miss them," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, they do. I'm sure there's many championship caliber players because we don't have any in this city because we don't win many championships in this city. Not any in football miss OTAs, miss voluntary workouts, but that doesn't mean that they miss all of them." Yeah, it's great that Kirk Cousins can be there, but also it's not hampering Michael Penix and he's not there to me, and it's also not a betterment for Michael Penix learning and being the leader of this team that he's not there. I think both can be overstated. I think we make too big of a deal about voluntary stuff. The only thing that bothers me about the Pitts thing is that I saw this story already. I saw it with Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley in his last year where he was a contract year, he was in his fifth year option, skips OTAs and did pretty much not a lot in his final season here, which was the story of Vic Beasley's career. He had one good year, just like Kyle Pitts, and then the rest of it was a lot of nothing. You know why? Because he didn't love the game. And everything I see from Pitts there on the field shows me as a guy that doesn't love the game.
Yeah.
And that's why that's the only reason why that one bothers me. McGarry's gotten better every single year, I feel like. And doesn't mean he won't not get better after missing the first OTA.
Yeah. Like I said, it's dependent on who the guy is. Like Tony Gonzalez used to miss OTAs all the time. Like, you know, Tony Gonzalez missed an entire training camp and it was like, it's Tony.
It's
like, he's going to Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's going to Hall of Fame. He can miss an OTA. He can miss all the OTAs. He's Tony Gonzalez. But again, you talk about specific situations. Like you talked about Kyle Pitts, like Caleb McGarry, Ray McLeod being the other one. I think it's interesting. That's all I'll say about that. But there's a number of different reasons. I mean, there was we missed a couple of players, and I won't name their names. We missed a couple of players one year because they were going to see LeBron play in the playoffs against the Charlotte Bobcats.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Up in Charlotte for the day. And it was like, oh, you know, that playoff game's this afternoon. We're not going to make it to the OTA. It was like, all right, it was a very short conversation that with Mike Smith, I believe, and it was like, hey, all right. But they were all, second contract, multi-year starters, veterans, things like that, and it never, came to be a big deal. So it is what it is. We'll continue to have that conversation, I'm sure. Hopefully all of them get back there sooner than later.
Maybe we should do a poll about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not do that. We do need to go to break, though. And we do need to talk about another letdown and a couple of people also that didn't show up yesterday, and I'm talking about up in Philadelphia. We'll also break into more of the SEC spring meetings and some craziness coming on from down there. We'll hear from Kirby Smart throughout the show and probably a little bit of Lane Kiffin. Anybody saw that on the Paul Feinbaum set last night? We'll also get NBA playoffs coming up at 6:40. We've got Trey Wallace from Outkick coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Stick with us. Going to be a fun show. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's 6:23 on a Wednesday morning. Hopefully you guys are avoiding the rainstorms out there. And it rained all freaking night at my house. And it I swear, as soon as I left my house this morning, got even worse.
It was absolutely awful. And I thought, there are so few people on the road when we're driving in and it's that bad.
Yeah.
If you are navigating right now with the other thousands of other Atlantans, I mean, good luck to you. Be careful.
Monsoon.
Why do people drive like jerks in the rain? So there's two kinds of jerks. There's the I'm going to drive with my flashers on in the rain, which disables your brake lights. Because I don't know if you need to drive with your flashers in the rain, you need to pull your ass off the road. And just sit until it stops raining, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there's the, I'm going speeding by you. Oh, it's raining heavier. Now I'm going to pull in front of you at a slower speed and almost basically brake check you, which happened to me in the express lane this morning.
Mm.
Car's going to go flying by me. The rain picks up.
Right.
And then it does, it just like barely gets in front of me. I mean, it almost clipped my front end. And then just, and I, dude, it took everything I had to realize I was not iRacing at the moment and just kind of nudge the car. I joke. But I jerked back out of line and was like, I'm getting around you. Like, you're not, I cannot. Why do you, if it's raining and you're so scared of the rain, why would you put yourself in a bad situation like that where you basically cut someone off?
Look.
It's a panic
move. I don't
want
to go too deep into this, but there's a reason they do that. It's because they don't like the spray of the water from your tires getting onto their windshield. So they're like, I got to get in front of this guy.
So they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to do it to you.
Well,
like you mentioned, probably a jerk move.
Well, yeah, no, it was a jerk move. I mean, they had a vanity license plate, so you know. I mean, if you have your name written on your
license plate. Not all vanity plates are jerks, but.
If you drive a Range Rover and have a vanity plate, it's pretty much pointing towards here's your sign. Yeah. I mean, not to be Bill Engvall, but here's your sign.
Yeah. Nonetheless, man, coming up at 6:40, we're going to get into Braves and NBA playoffs and everything else that goes along with that, man. So make sure you're locked in for that. We'll have a Mally Mac drop as well. We got Which One Wednesday coming up at the 7:40 segment and plenty more of Raheem Morris and Michael Penix to get to. But for right now, let's focus in on the SEC meetings that are going down. Miramar Beach, Destin, everybody knows the scene down there. And you see some of the live shots yesterday on SEC Network and some of the craziness going on. Well, Kirby Smart had one thing he wanted to sound off on yesterday. No, it wasn't the format of the college football playoff. No, it wasn't the play-in games. No, it wasn't the house settlement. No, it wasn't the College Sports Commission. Kirby Smart wanted to talk about the transfer portal.
It's really hard to be playing in a championship setting and having to deal with that. But when I brought that up as a complaint or a problem, it was told to me, there's no crying from the eye. So if you're going to play in these environments, you have to be willing to do that.
I love that. There's no crying from the yacht, Kirby. Yeah. Calm down. You know, you're at the top of the mountain. Let's, you know, and nobody wants to. And listen, I think in more ways than one, and I think you'll agree with this, Bo, Kirby's become that guy that Nick Saban was so many years ago, where it's like he's going to bring to the forefront what he thinks the biggest issue is that we should all be talking about. And there are always going to be detractors that look at him and say, well, you can't complain because obviously you're having more success than anybody else at it.
Well, if it's anything like what Saban did, it means you better beware.
I agree. If you got to buckle up.
That was what killed me. And Georgia fans, buckle up because you used to do it.
Yeah.
Georgia fans were the loudest criers when Nick Saban would say, here's the problem we have. Oh, quit crying. Let's be hard.
Nah, you ain't going to do Georgia fans like that.
They did.
That is not true. They were not the biggest criers.
Well,
they weren't.
Let me rephrase it. They're the criers that I heard because that's where I work, in Georgia. And that's
well, you didn't listen enough to the Auburn people.
Well,
down there,
Auburn fans cry about everything. but anyways.
Just picking fights.
But anyways, but now, here's what I used to tell him. And the reason I'm saying this is I used to tell him, you better listen to what he's saying. Because if Saban's telling you it's a problem, it means he's giving you the warning that he knows how to exploit it and he's going to beat you with it. And so to me, that actually means now that Kirby is talking about a problem, I'm curious if Kirby is doing the same. Because when I heard Kirby talking on Feinbaum, he talked about the fact that one of the things he's figured out is that kids want to transfer during that portal window in the winter or fall, winter, whatever you want to call it, because they want to be enrolling in January, not in April and May.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. Personally, I hate that transfer portal. To me, that should be for new recruits, and the transfer portal should be in the spring.
Yeah.
Because they are finishing seasons, et cetera. But that tells me that Kirby has found something that he can use to exploit. And because I think Kirby is the Saban-esque guy. He's the guy with two national titles now. He's the best coach to me in college football right now.
Well, here's Kirby talking about, man, there's only one single issue we should be talking about, and this is it.
The biggest decision that has to be made in college football right now, by far, is when is the portal window and is there one or two? I want to develop my team. I think it's really important in football to have your team at whatever date in January, whatever we decide that is. And then you work those guys out, you train those guys, you lift, you prepare, you do meetings, you do all this preparation, and then that's your team, right? Like, that's your team. And I'm great with the money they make. I'm great with them being able to go in the portal. And if you ask kids when they would like to be able to go in the portal, they're going to say in January so they can go get started where? At their new place.
Yeah, so currently what he's talking about, and we talked about this until we were blue in the face back in December with Rusty Manziel, there is a December window from December 9th to the 28th. Do you remember one of the conversations we had last year, Bo, during that window was there were kids on playoff teams actively threatening to leave their playoff teams to go into the portal during the playoff because they felt like they could get more money and needed to capitalize at any given time, which as a college football purist makes me sick to my stomach. The thought of like, you know, so X team is in the playoff and they're starting defensive tackles like, dude, I'm out. Unless, because what is keeping these kids from leveraging these universities for more money at that point, which you got to do what's best for you in the long run. But it's the schedule that Kirby's talking about, and I guarantee he's pointing to this exact problem of saying, why are we doing it this way? And then you also have the spring window, April 16th to 25th, which, as we know, is kind of threatening what spring football is. How hard can you coach these guys? I'm all in with Kirby on this. Like, I feel like if there's one window and you have it in January, you can knock all this stuff out. You can get guys locked in. The only issue facing this is what happens when these teams are playing in a national title game that keeps continuing to be moved back later and later in the year.
I personally think the way he sounds is I think he knows how to win with it in January, you know, as in it's starting. I think he wants it in the spring, personally, the way he talks about it. I think it actually – think about this. Think about it being in the spring where you've gone through your recruiting process, right? You've got all your high school kids in, and a lot of them are early enrollees these year, like the bigger recruits, right? And they're already on campus, and they've gone through spring practice, and you go, you know, who's ready, who's not. You know what you have, a little bit better idea of what you have. And then you – and look, let's just be real about it. They're essentially, Mike, they're going in there right now, and, you know, agents are calling and saying, hey.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like you need a tight end. Why don't you call, Allie Mack? She's our best tight end that I have on my roster.
It's Kirby talking about how they had agents wanting to go on Zoom calls.
And that's my point.
Players weren't even in the portal.
Yeah, that's my point is you can kind of go, it's almost like free agency, right? And you can go grab a guy or a player that you need, and then you don't, that there's not so many maybe in the portal that are flooded, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to work that way because players are going to realize they're not the guy in spring practice, and they're going to go hit the portal and try to go somewhere they can be the player. But I just think it works out better for everyone.
I do too, and hopefully Kirby Smart can get some traction. You know what's crazy about these SEC meetings as a whole is I feel like it has been rudderless to a point because the House settlement is kind of weighing on everybody's mind. Come July 1st, like college sports is going to change massively, right? Because of the House settlement. You're going to start, you know, seeing the revenue sharing and everything else. And then what follows that, whenever that's announced, whenever the House settlement is announced, is kind of the next big thing. The College Sports Commission, the College Football Playoff, the 16 teams, which we'll get into later. I want to talk about the 5+11 format. But then you go to the SEC talking about 8-game schedule versus 9-game schedule and how often you see it. Like, there's so many hands in the cookie jar when it comes to the headlines down at SEC meetings right now that you almost – the transfer portal, to Kirby's credit, kind of gets thrown into the background. And it's the worst thing right now for coaches as far as these players go, because when you do talk about revenue sharing or NIL or everything else that kind of falls under the umbrella of the House settlement, this helps fix a lot of that, where guys are having negotiating periods throughout the season and Kirby's getting his door knocked on at Wednesday in October saying, look, okay, good. Like, hit the road. And I think he's made that more than clear. He's made it abundantly clear, as have a number of other SEC coaches when they talk about this. But I love the fact that he's and you heard his response at the podium yesterday. I'm glad you asked. He's like, I'm glad you asked. The guys that have these messages to deliver always use it as a jumping off point whenever a question is prompted. It's almost like the SID at Georgia slipped a piece of paper to somebody in the crowd and was like, hey, here you go, man. You want a soundbite? Let this thing dig. No, Kirby's about to go in.
Kirby says, who do you want to give a one-on-one to? Because whoever you want to give that to, give them this question. They ask it, I'm in.
It wasn't Paul Feinbaum.
Feinbaum went in on Gunnar Stockton and on SportsCenter, and Kirby.
We got that coming up at 7:20 today.
He definitely heard it, and he made it known. Yeah, we'll get that 720. This is, look, college athletics is a wreck right now. This might be the most important six-month stretch of college football in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Because you have the house settlement, you have how that's all going to work out with these document that we talked about last week with Pat Forty, and then you have the playoff expansion, which all needs to be wrapped up by January 1st.
Yep.
If not, it could be bad.
Yep.
It could be really bad for this sport.
It's going to be an ongoing conversation throughout the rest of the week. Hopefully some decisions are starting to be made at some point by the end of the week. We're going to talk about this. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk in the front page. We're going to hit on the Braves and the hapless bats last night. The NBA playoffs roll on. We also got an electric Allie Matt drop.
Yes, we have prepared Bo for Germany, but is Germany ready for Bo? We're going to give the Germans a primer on what they can expect this November.
Yes, can't wait for that. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Mike, Bo, and Allie Mack at 6:42. And yeah, we got to jump right in on the Braves because unfortunately we were really hoping for a different outcome last night, but they lost 2-0 to the Phillies. And Spencer Strider ended up having a real big scare. Well, I guess Bryce Harper had the scare. Spencer Strider hit him in the first inning right in the elbow, and Bryce Harper left for the rest of the game. They did do an x-ray. There's nothing, no break right now, but he's going to be reevaluated this morning. How did you guys feel about that game last night? Again, another lackluster, not what we wanted.
Womp womp.
Yeah, I felt numb because I'm not angry about it. You did. That was frustrating, man, because you had so many chances. I think they left like 10 guys on base, Allie. I might be wrong. I might be off on that, but at one point it felt like that. The Phillies are not that much better than you, and Strider's not Strider right now.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, I fully expect him to get back to the 96, 97, 98 stuff where he can, because there was some at-bats where you thought he was just waiting to rear back and put a guy away, and he couldn't. At 11-pitch at-bat to lead off the third inning, I think it was. It might have been Bryson Stott. I can't quite remember who it was. But I was like, all right, put him away. And he can't. And if he can't put guys away with 98, 99, and he doesn't develop that another out pitch, not good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's starting to get back there, and this was, I think, more evident of that. You know, you did get the 7 Ks in the four and two-thirds pitching into the fifth inning. Strider was fine. The bottom line is, if we don't score a run, you can't win, right? And I think the most frustrating thing for me and my biggest takeaway from the game is you had a base runner in the first 8 innings. You had so many opportunities, and, you know, obviously the one inning sticks out where Matt Olson strikes out with the bases juiced. How is it possible that you have a runner in every single inning, but you're 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position? Like, I realize that Realmuto, the catcher, like, he poses a problem. They got to do a better job, though, of finding a way to get guys in scoring position and get, hits with runners in scoring position and runners on base. I just, like, and Allie, this is an overall, and Raheem said this yesterday, so this is in the top of my 30,000-foot view. We're after Memorial Day now, which is kind of the one-third point in the season for a lot of baseball teams. I'm starting to get tired of having the same conversations. I really am. Like, this is stretched out for over a year now where it's like, oh, you know, you are what the back of the baseball card says you are. Fine. All right, but we got to start. There's stuff that's not on the back of a baseball card that's starting to stick out. It's clutch hits. It's long at bats. It's putting pressure on starting pitchers. We're not good at it, and it's just frustrating to watch right now.
Well, and I think this entire season we've all been a little bit frustrated with Matt Olson. And yesterday there was a very heated debate on this show about whether Matt Olson was on a tear or not yesterday. And when those bases were loaded, and he came up and was like, come on, Matt, just to change the narrative on the show.
Well,
please
change one person's narrative, Allie. You and I are in the same. Yeah, I was frustrated. You know what's
she's
funny?
On my side. What are you talking about?
You know what's funny? No, she's not.
Yeah, she is. He went 0-for-4 yet. Like,
she wasn't yesterday. She might be now.
I'm not saying he's on a tear. I'm not saying he's awful.
I'm sorry, but if you hit 5 home runs in your last 7 games going into last night or 8 games, that does qualify, I believe, as a tear. I don't care how many of them solo. The fact of the matter is he was not, you needed him last night. And I was with you. I was like, dude, do it. Like, come on. I had your back. But guess what? Marcell Ozuna was equally as bad.
I agree.
And Marcell Ozuna came up in the exact same spots.
Austin Riley had a bad at bat in that same inning.
I know Austin Riley more for legging out infield singles this year than I do hitting home runs and hitting big doubles and stuff. I also know that Ronnie had a couple of situations, you know, where you could have used something. But Ozzy's got a 12-game hitting streak, so.
Yeah, we got to go to NBA, but I just want to say this. There was three times last night. I want to say Sean Murphy, Michael Harris, and Matt Olson that, like, the ball, and there's, I think one of them was a slider, one of them was a splitter, like, middle. Like, go zone, and you're not hitting. And that's really the frustrating part. How many times we talk about Raisel Iglesias? Oh, he's throwing balls off the plate, low in the zone, outside in the black, and he's getting tattooed. And when our guys get one middle, it doesn't seem like they can make it work. So.
Well, and they've got another shot at it tonight. We've got Smith-Shawver against Zach Wheeler tonight. So hopefully there's a different story outcome for tomorrow. As far as the NBA playoffs, in the Eastern Conference, Pacers had no issues last night securing game four. Final score was 130-121, and John Halliburton was back in the house to see his son. Thank goodness, because Tyrese had an epic night, came in strong with 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, and 0 turnovers. And, of course, Tyrese did have some comments about his dad being back in the building.
Yeah, I was happy he was in the building. Obviously, Triple H is in the building. That might have been a little, I'm not going to say it was more special, but Triple H being in the building was pretty fire, too. And just obviously the excitement in the city, seeing all the former players coming out. You know, G. Hill, who played with me for a little bit. Danny Granger, he said it was like his first time back in Indy. That's special. That's special for me. J.O. in the building. Obviously, Reggie on commentary. You know, it's special. And when you're winning, you can get people out the house to come watch you and support you, you know. Oh. So that's really exciting. And it's an exciting time to be a Pacer fan and be a Pacer alumni. And we're just trying to, you know, keep playing the right way and, you know, playing the right way for our fans.
Was he more excited about anyone else besides his dad being in the building, especially Triple H?
I love that, man. That's good stuff.
Do you think he dropped in the middle of, like, at some point, he's like, I am the game to, like, one of the players? Like, because that's the Triple H's thing. He's like, yeah. I am the
I would respect that.
Game.
I would respect that.
Historic triple-double. Like, you know, he said 0 turnovers. I think it's the first time it's been done. And I saw something about Oscar Robinson when I was reading about
right.
it. So, unbelievable. Look, I love it because it means that the Knicks are a game from going home. And I think we all know that, you know, all the Knicks fans are bad people. I mean, they spit on Trey. They tried to beat up the guy wearing a Halliburton jersey, right? It was a Halliburton jersey guy.
Yeah.
Had on.
Yeah. And they went after Wendy, too. They threw trash at Wendy, wasn't it? Brian Windhorst?
So, well, you know, I mean.
I don't think they really recognized him.
When they make the LeBron movie, Jonah Hill's going to gain his weight back to play Wendy. But, look, I couldn't care less about Knicks fans. I love the fact that they suffer. Now, Mr. Quite Frankly, he gets to suffer, too, so.
Yeah, it was a very impressive performance from the Pacers last night. When you get the performance you did from Halliburton, you get another 30-piece from Pascal Siakam, who's been kind of like the other unsung hero, I think, of the Pacers this postseason, and Benedict Mathurin picked an amazing time to have his best game of the playoffs.
What a great name.
Right. But Pacers played cleaner than the Knicks, and again, they've just been able to dictate the style of every game, I feel like, besides last game, so that's why they're up.
Well, nice. And game five is tomorrow in New York, 8 o'clock tonight. We have the Western Conference Timberwolves, Thunder, and OKC at 8:30 tonight. And now we got to get Germany ready for what's about to happen in November. So last time we talked about Bo getting to travel to Germany in November when the Falcons face the Colts, we kind of got you ready with phrases that you need to know, Bo. But I realized Germany actually needs to be more prepared for you. And your tweets that will be coming their way.
Yes.
So I have gone through your Twitter feed. And we're going to play some of your tweets in German.
Yes.
And you're going to guess which ones they are, if you can remember.
Okay.
And then I'm going to translate them. But you know how Google Translate takes out the emotion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mike will then deliver how they actually
yes.
sounded. The interpretive.
Yes. This is going to be good.
Impression
I've been waiting
of them.
For this moment my entire life.
All right, let's go with tweet number one.
Wenn du davon sprichst, dass Kirk Cousins nicht bei den OTAs war und nicht davon, dass Kyle Pitts nicht da war, musst du die Dinge neu bewerten.
This is the one that I said, if you're talking about Kirk Cousins not being at OTAs, then you need to reassess things, because the bigger story is Kyle Pitts not being at OTAs in a contract year.
Wow. You know what? He nailed it. Mike, you just go ahead with how you would say it.
Here it is. If you're talking about Kirk Cousins not being at OTAs and not the fact that Kyle Pitts wasn't there, you need to reassess things.
I love it.
Hashtag Squid Life, Squid Nation.
I love it. All right, tweet number two.
Vielleicht solltest du mal recherchieren. White hat wörtlich gesagt, es sei seine Schuld. Die Anzeichen waren eindeutig. Es war Whites Schuld. Ende der Geschichte.
Any clue?
No.
All right.
There was one name that kept popping up. I thought you'd get it.
It's easier when you have the translation in front of
exactly,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
This one, Bo, is where you said, maybe you should do some research. White literally said it was his fault. The signs were clear. It was White's fault. End of story.
Oh, you put that so pleasantly, Alex.
Let me tell you something. This guy is always... is wrong. He always tweets wrong, and he's one of these people that never admits he's wrong.
Yeah. Here's what it really sounded like. Maybe you should do some research. White literally said it was his fault. The signs were clear. It was White's fault. End of the story.
It's so much better with Mike's interpretation.
That's not how I say it.
Because this is how Bo reads everybody else's tweets. Yeah. I just want to make sure he knows this is how he sounds.
This might be the best thing since the Key and Peele did that skit where he's translating for the president.
All right, let's try another one. Tweet number three.
Ich liebe es, wenn Leute kleinlich darüber streiten, ob jemand wie Brock Purdy es wert ist. Oder noch schlimmer, wenn sie versuchen, die Sprüche, lass sie es sich verdienen und mach ihn dann zum Franchise-Wort zu verwenden. Das funktioniert nie. Das ist selektiver Hass.
That was a long one, though.
Yeah.
So this one is probably about when Brock Purdy got his contract. And I said, I don't know the exact verbiage, Miss Allie, but it was something like, If you're complaining about Brock Purdy getting paid $55 million a year or something like that on average, then you don't realize that he is a franchise quarterback. You probably have an agenda because he's exactly what they want.
What led you to understand that was the tweet?
I heard Brock Purdy, and I don't tweet about Brock Purdy.
I didn't hear the Brock Purdy part. That's what I said.
The tweet translated to exactly verbatim. I love when guys try to nitpick if someone like Brock Purdy is worth it, or even worse, try to make them earn it and then franchise him. Lines that never works out. It's selective hating.
If I would.
Mm-hmm.
I love when guys try to nitpick if someone like Brock Purdy is worth it. Or even worse, try to use the make them earn it and then franchise him lines. That never works out. It's selective hating. There it goes.
All right. I think we have time for one more. This next one is short and so out of context that we have to play it. Tweet number four.
Wie groß werden diese Ziegen? Frage für einen Freund.
It's so much more fun when you have the translation in front of you, I swear.
Wait, replay that again, Dallin.
Wie groß werden diese Ziegen? Frage für einen Freund.
I don't know, but it sounds like a cuss at somebody. I don't even cuss on Twitter.
No.
I don't cuss on Twitter, I know.
This one was, how big do those goats grow to be? Asking for a friend.
It's funny. I can't even rage translate this one because I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it sounded. Hey, how big do those goats grow to be? Asking for a friend.
That's pretty funny.
Oh my God. That was one of my favorite segments of all time.
The Germans are going to have so much fun when you come abroad.
Well,
bro.
Because the only person that can sound as angry as the Germans when they speak is me.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's funny as I listened to Rammstein on the way in. So it's pretty, you know, obviously our German band I've seen before. Phenomenal concert. Lots of fire.
Tweets. I'm so sad we didn't get these.
We'll save them. We have so many.
Let me just
more.
Do one more. I was ahead of my time. Now everyone goes to college for 5 to 7 years. Just look at college football these days.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. That's what he did. That's
pretty
good.
Oh, nice work, Allie. Nice work, my friend. Beautiful stuff. We got to go to break. Appreciate you guys listening to us. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, and Darnell Mooney were at the podium yesterday. How good can that combination be, and what is that relationship like between Michael Penix and Darnell Mooney? We'll break it down on the other side. Stick with us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.